Welcome to the Real Big Show Horrorcast Edition, Episode 7. I am your host, not Hoser, Michael Petrelli. This week, we're a little light on personalities, but we make up for it in bullshit. Joining us this week, the Picking Brains Master and bullshit artist, Bradley Slayton.
How are we doing? I'm standing in a pile of it.
Yeah. And of course, I'm representing my damn self. So this week, it's that week you've been begging us to do. The week we tackle the most popular of all the horror subgenres at the present. I'm, of course, talking about zombies. We are talking about the living dead folk. The Haitian folklore come to life, literally. The concept formerly associated with voodoo religion and George Romero, and now associated with Norman Reedus and his ass and The Walking Dead. So, zombies play no favorites and take no prisoners. They will eat your brains and take the shit out of you.
The shit out of you? That's awesome. Zombie ass. That is actually a zombie.
They will take all your shit out of you.
Poltergeist.
Well, and you know what? And at least they'll grunt at you while they're chewing on your intestines. So, you know, There's that. Well, let's carry on as crazily as this already has started. And we'll move into New Realm and we'll tackle the undead here at the Real Big Show Horrorcast. So, Bradley.
Yeah.
What does the subgenre of zombie mean to you? Specifically,
it means George Romero. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I know people who aren't horror fans and everyone that walks the earth worships, you know, The Walking Dead, essentially, and even probably the unborn. But yeah, it's all George. I mean, modern zombie is George Romero, you know. So I don't know what feud or alleged feud or internet fights they put between him and Kirkman, but it's Kirkman, right?
Yeah, Kirkman. Yep. Cartman, you know, Kirkman, whatever.
But yeah, it's George Romero. I mean, this show can go on for 30 years, you know, The Walking Dead, it will still always be George Romero.
So one of my earliest introductions to the zombie lore was Bela Lugosi's White Zombie. So, film that tells a story, for those who haven't seen it, a young woman's transformation into a zombie at the hands of an evil voodoo master. What was your earliest introduction into the zombie world?
I guess Dawn of the Dead. I mean, now if you're going time-wise, like, yes, White Zombie. But I saw Dawn of the Dead was the first zombie film that I saw. Like, I didn't see White Zombie until, you know, far down the line. Like, Dawn of the Dead VHS rental from the video store was my first introduction to zombies.
Yeah, and White Zombie, people, we're not talking about Rob Zombie here. We're talking about a actual film that was actually worth watching. You know, something that Rob Zombie does occasionally, but is not really good at doing. So, in 1968, let's talk about George Romero. He created Night of the Living Dead, and it was pretty damn fucking successful. I'm still trying to figure out, because of the timing of the film, how did he actually find so much success? Because it made a lot of money when it came out.
He didn't make a lot of money.
No, but he made a lot of money for the distributor.
Yes, yes. If he would have just moved that copyright over to the final print, he'd tell us all to kiss his ass, you know, instead of groveling at us. But I think there's a great documentary called Birth of the Living Dead that is out. I think it's on Netflix even. That just recently came out this year or end of last year, that documents what all was going on, you know, culturally in the Martin Luther King assassination and everything else. And it was just the perfect storm.
Well, it actually brings me to the dispute between Russo and George Romero. I'm speaking, of course, of John Russo, who was part he was the screenplay writer, I believe. And how they handled the sequels in 1960 for the 1968 Night of the Living Dead, which led to Russo's Return of the Living Dead series, and then of course Romero's Night franchise. Now let's be honest. I mean, I'm pretty sure this question is probably as stupid as it sounds, but which series? And there's a reason why I asked this. Which series proved to be better overall?
Well, Romero's original three.
Three. But I'm talking about a series.
It's the Romero series.
So you lump in Diary of the Dead and we lump in...
No. I, the last three, you know, even George has said, the last three are kind of a new trilogy, you know, of Diary and Survival. And I would say Land, I mean... I enjoy Land for what it is, you know, of just the craziness of Dennis Hopper and everything. I'm glad it did it. I'm glad a major studio picked it up, you know. But I think, you know, with Night, Dawn, and Day, boom, end it. Fantastic.
Now, Return of the Living Dead had some pretty hot women in it, though.
Yes, I love Return. The first Return of the Living Dead is fantastic. The second one's good for campy value. But, like, you can show anyone Return of the Living Dead. I mean, it created brains. I mean, zombies didn't eat brains until Return of the Living Dead. But that's not John Russo. That's Dan O'Bannon, you know, the guy that wrote Alien and, you know, so many other great genres, you know, offerings. I mean, if Russo had made it, it'd be nothing. I mean, it'd be nothing. Dan O'Bannon created Return of the Living Dead. Russo just owned rights.
Right. I mean, we can't talk about zombies without talking about Zombie, the Italian film. You've seen this film?
Oh, right? Yeah.
What are your original thoughts of that film? Not the sequel, because the sequel sucked. But
it blew my mind.
Man. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those fucking films that you watch and you realize, like, Jesus Christ, what am I watching here? You know. I just, still to this day, I pop it in every Halloween and I watch it. And it's just, it is such a fucking superior film to most of the crap that came out, even during that time frame.
Yeah. I mean, a zombie and a shark.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Dawn of the Dead, but seriously, yeah. It's very good.
It's right up there. And I mean, then you go in, I mean, that just opened the floodgates to Europe.
Well, Fulci made a Gates of Hell trilogy.
Yeah.
So he had Zombie, the Beyond, and then I think the House by the Cemetery.
Yeah, and they're all great.
And they are. And it was one of those things where, you know, he kind of opened the door. And I'm not going to say this like that George Romero followed him. But let's be honest. I mean... That trilogy was pretty damn good, and Romero started to follow in that footsteps.
Yeah. Well, I think Romero got a lot from Argento, too, because Argento was a big part of Dawn of the Dead. Right. So I think Romero was more social, and then once Savini got in there with the gore and everything else, like, I'm pretty sure Romero would be fine with writing, you know, just one where zombies are sitting at a cafe, you know, sipping cappuccinos and smoking, you know, European cigarettes.
Yeah, and now let's look at the body of zombie movies in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, it was not the greatest depiction of the character or the subgenre. But in 81, our boy Sam Raimi did a little film called Evil Dead.
Yeah, I don't count them as zombies, though.
But you can't not. I mean...
They're demons. Like, they're possessed spirits. They're not possessed bodies. Like...
Well, do you want to talk about Evil Dead, or do you want to talk about I was a zombie for the FBI?
Ooh, I kind of like that. Why would you even ask me?
Well, okay, so... the Evil Dead, you can argue that there's the demon and zombie. I mean, they're still the undead. It's the living dead. It's whatever. Yes.
It's the living undead dead. I mean, I love Sam Raimi's films. Well, I love his first three. I mean, of that trilogy, you know, the Evil Dead trilogy. I love those. I mean, Drag Me to Hell, I think it was overhyped, and whatever he dabbles in these days seems to be shit. But yeah, he had a good thing going.
All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot.
I love the spot.
So you gotta choose day, dawn, or night.
Day.
As the quintessential Romero film.
Yes.
See, I would go dawn, but
you can't be called an idiot for your choice. You know what I mean? Like, you can select any three of those. Like, Nathan, I know, goes night. You know, like, Night of the Living Dead's his favorite. You know, and I go day, and you go dawn. I mean, they're all great films. There's not, like, a shitty one. Like, if we were talking Return of the Living Dead and someone said, Rave to the Grave.
Yeah.
You know, Return of the Living Dead 5. You'd be like, click. You know? So, now, for me, Day of the Dead just, I love George Romero's social commentary that he does, even outside of his zombie films, you know, with Martin and Monkey Shines and everything else. And Day is just, I think, I'll put it this way, for people who haven't seen it, if there was no Day of the Dead, there would not be a Walking Dead.
That's true.
Like, Day of the Dead, he showed you can do personal, like, Robert Kirkman severely raped Day of the Dead.
I would say he paid homage.
Paid homage, rape, you know, Polanski, rape, however you want to call it.
Now, you want to talk about raping the franchise. Let's just say that John Carpenter didn't necessarily shy away from some of his ways of picking at Romero's films in Prince of Darkness and in Serpent of the Rainbow.
Oh, well, Serpent of the Rainbow was Wes Craven.
Oh, Wes Craven, I'm sorry, yeah. John Carpenter in Prince of Darkness and Wes Craven in Serpent of the Rainbow both paid homage to George Romero.
Oh, absolutely. But Prince of Darkness is on so many levels just, like, that movie could have a class about it, like a collegiate class, like the stuff that, I mean, yeah, there's the 80 cent score, and there's the guy who, you know, the lead actor who probably left the set and went and did Debbie Does Dallas 4, mm-hmm. you know, right afterwards.
Yeah.
With the porn stash in here, but it's such a great movie, and I love it.
I personally think it's Carpenter's third best film.
Oh, of course, behind who are the other two?
Behind The Thing and They Live.
Yes, wonderful.
Yeah,
I agree with you completely. I like In the Mouth of Madness as well, though.
Yeah, I do like that one. That's my fourth favorite. So where do we put Maniac Cop?
Fun to watch.
Yeah, very fun to watch. Not something that we were going to scientifically speak about, but the late 80s were kind of fun. You had a lot of fun things like The Video Dead and Zombie High and Night of the Living Dead Part 2 and Serpent of the Rainbow. And, of course, like the one we just talked about, Prince of Darkness. But we also had Shud. We also had Beverly Hills Body Snatchers and other bullshit. But we got into the fact, I mean, we're going to go back again and forth on the undead here, but Pet Sematary.
Yes.
Okay, so from the 60s to the 90s, zombie wasn't the zombie that we saw, that we see now. Zombie was the zombie that rose from the dead and ate flesh. Fine, I get it. But the zombie craze has changed over the last 40 years. And actually the zombie itself and how they go about their daily lives. Is that what I'm supposed to say? But I think that in the 90s, we got a little bit silly. I mean, you had
Boyfriend's Back.
Yeah, we have Frankenhooker, and
oh, I love Frankenhooker so much, though.
Wow. Yeah, but we also had, and I know you're probably gonna kill me for saying this, but Savini's remake of Night of the Living Dead.
I love it. Nathan and I got into a huge argument over, maybe not Nathan, someone and I got into a huge argument over Night of the Living Dead 90. Like, I think, you know, if he had had it released uncut, like, we've still never seen his full uncut version.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw the full uncut version, I would 100% put it over George Romero's original. Like, the
acting, it's missing too much stuff.
The acting is far superior. Like, I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, whether it be, you know, the time and the quality of people, the effects work is far heads and above superior. And I love what he tweaked, you know, with the ending and everything. I love what he tweaked.
I just, like I said, if I could see that uncut version, it just seems like it got into the hands of the film company and things got done.
Well, and the MPAA, you know?
Well, yeah, of course.
But yeah, I think the uncut version would far outweigh Romero's. I'm just, and maybe it's like Night of the Living Dead was the last one I saw out of this trilogy.
So that was the last one you saw?
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, I saw Dawn, Day, Night.
Hmm. Yeah. I was back in my younger years, I love black and white, so I searched the shit out of films. Like, yeah. I mean, I think I was probably 84. I think I was 10 when I saw Night of the Living Dead on, it was probably at a friend's house on Halloween. And I just remember that, like, it was just such a great, fun film, and it actually scared the shit out of me at that time, because it was like, it was something you were never really, you know, used to knowing about. And I think it was the first time, like I said, it was only the second movie, you know, besides White Zombie that I had ever seen that had, and White Zombie is completely night and day from what Night of the Living Dead was.
Oh yeah. And you've got the daughter killing the mother, you know, like that's like a pretty big thing, you know, like have a kid killing their parent, you know, at that point.
All right. So up until the 90s, can you think of, besides the Romero films, if you had to mention the quintessential zombie film, what would you say it would be?
Return of the Living Dead. Just because the original.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it introduced, I mean, that's the brains.
Yeah.
You know? And I think they gave, I mean, yeah, Romero and Day gave, you know, everyone had their favorite, you know, the Bill Hinesman zombie from Night of the Living Dead, or the Hare Krishna zombie, you know, right, or the Machete zombie, you know, from Dawn of the Dead. But until, you know, Return of the Living Dead and Day came out, there weren't those, you know, character zombies, you know, like the first one you see in Day with the mouth, and then Bub, of course, and then Return the Tar Man, and all these, you know, send more paramedics, you know, and all that, like, and the half corpse, which is amazing. I mean, it made it, you know, quotable.
Right. Not Night of the Creeps. I mean, come on.
I do like Night of the Creeps, but I don't really view it as a zombie movie.
Oh, that's 100% a comedy zombie.
Well, I mean, it's more alien. Like, they're infected by slugs, right, and it's more of a, I consider it more of like an alien, like, possession movie. It, like, the aliens are controlling them, you know, kind of like Slither.
All right, but worst zombie movies you saw in the 80s and 90s?
My Boyfriend's Back.
I was going to say Ed and His Dead Mother.
Oh, I love that movie. Oh, my God. I love Steve. That is one of Steve Buscemi's. Like, if I ever interview Steve Buscemi, we're talking Ed and His Dead Mother for a good 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. I have to be on that call.
It might not last 20 minutes. Oh. But that was, I absolutely love, because it came out around the same time as Dead Alive.
Yes.
And it's such like an alternate, I mean, same kind of thing, you know, but alternate take on it. And yeah, for some reason, and Ned Beatty, I thought was outstanding.
Do you know what I saw Ed and his dead mother with?
No.
Brain Dead. Those, that was my double feature on that Halloween, was Brain Dead, which Peter, people that don't know, is Peter Jackson's first feature length film.
Yeah.
He had done a short before that. And
well, I did, oh my gosh, Bad Taste.
A Bad Taste. And then, yeah, I watched Ed and His Dead Mother and Brain Dead, and I believe, I want to say Night of the Living Dead 3. But it also may have been...
Return of the Living Dead 3 with the chick, motorcycle chick.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't the best Halloween. I'll just put it that way. Yeah, I probably could have picked some better films to watch.
I absolutely love Dead Alive, though. I mean, it's so just alive. I mean, that Peter Jackson used to have such talent.
Yeah, like, he still does.
No. Well, his FX team does.
You know that it took almost from that point, which was almost 20 years, before we finally got a real good fucking movie in 28 Days Later. Which, okay, Infected Humans, whatever. They ran, they run, whatever. I don't care.
They're infected.
28 Days Later is still a zombie movie.
It's debatable, but I will give it to you.
And it's a fucking great movie.
Yeah, it is. I actually like the sequel better, though.
20 weeks later is a very good film too, but that same year seemed, and it was weird because it was like 2002 seemed to be like that year that just everything popped up because you had that come out, and then right behind it, like I think a month or two later, was Resident Evil, the first Resident Evil film, yeah, which isn't the worst movie. It's not the best movie, but it's also not the worst. I will never, ever rip the Resident Evil franchise for what it is.
It could have been so much. Like, originally, George Romero was supposed to do the first Resident Evil movie.
Really?
And yes, he was originally signed to direct the first Resident Evil movie, and it just all crumbled apart, and he backed out or got kicked off or whatever. You know, he got taken out of it, and I just... You know, he had the script in it, you know, I mean, he was ready to go. And I think that would have been, so I can't watch it without thinking, I mean, the first one's fun, the second one's okay. And I gave up after the third one, but yeah, I just think it would have been so much different with George Romero.
Well, of course, I mean, it would have definitely been much better than Paul W.S. Anderson. But
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that started this, like, this, I guess, regeneration of the zombie world. Your boy Uwe Boll did a did that film. What are your feelings on House of the Dead?
You know, it's not a great movie, but it's no worse than the stupid other shit that they make. Like, I will watch House of the Dead before I watch the first Resident Evil again.
Interesting.
Like, it's just stupid fun. But I love Ed Wood movies.
Hmm.
You know? So, I just... It's something mind-numbing you can put on.
Interesting. Well, I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't speak about the fact that Zack Snyder remade Dawn of the Dead in 2004, which is not a bad film. It's actually a pretty decent rendition of the film. But, of course, I'm always going to harken back to the fact that I love the original. What were your first impressions the very first time you saw the remake of Dawn of the Dead? Was it a feeling of anger? Was it a feeling of sadness or joy?
No, it was anger going in, but he did a great fucking job with it. Like, he paid enough homage to it. He made it his own. Like, it's one of the top horror remakes. And kind of makes you look at him now, and it's kind of like, wow, what the fuck happened to you?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, he got a stuck into a niche after 300, and I think he's run with his career that way. But I would have, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I would have actually liked to see what he could have done with Day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, the Day of the Dead remake, I don't count.
No, absolutely not. But I actually think he possibly could have done something really, really special with Day after showing what he could do with Dawn. But it's a shame we'll never get a chance to see it because it's – now, there was a Day of the Dead 2, wasn't there? But it was not an official sequel?
There's been so many – it technically is an official sequel because of the rights, mm-hmm. you know? But there's another one being made now, like another remake of Day of the Dead being remade now.
Ugh, terrible. Come on.
So, I don't know. I give up with – with that one.
Well, one thing I don't give up with is one of my favorite films of the last decade, Shaun of the Dead.
I agree. Holy. I love that one too.
Edgar Wright created such an amazing world in Shaun with the characters, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Martin Freeman. I mean, it was such a great cast and a lot of fun, and it was one of those films that I think just jumped out at you when you looked at it and you said, oh, yeah, it's going to be one of those fucking, you know, 80s, harken back 80s films that's going to just make fun of the zombie genre. But it was actually smart and witty and actually had a lot of fun. And it's definitely a film that I go back to. It's one of my go-to films.
Yeah. There's nothing. I mean, I think people who dislike it just dislike it to be different.
I think so, too.
I don't see how anyone can not like, even if you're not a horror fan, I don't see how it's just to you know, step into Mr. Harmon's PhD in film shoes for a minute. I mean, it's a great film. It's a flawless film from a technical standpoint. Like, it's fun. There's something for everyone. It's great.
Yeah, and then we started to fall back again. I mean, we started to see films from around that time to the time that we got 28 weeks later with just a bunch of other bullshit zombie films that were just unmentionable and no reason to talk about them because they were.
There was Fido, though. Have you seen Fido?
Oh, yeah. Well, was that around that time? Oh, it was.
Fido, I think, got hated on because it was PG-13. But it was a smart person's zombie film.
Didn't Lloyd Kaufman make Poultrygeist?
Yes.
Night of the Chicken Dead?
I love that one, just for the pure instance. Give me Troma any day of the week.
Yeah, of course. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving's a good watch.
Yeah.
You know, Thanksgiving 3, not so much, but Thanksgiving's a good watch.
All right, Slither, zombie film or not zombie film?
Not a zombie film. It's the same as Night of the Creeps.
Wicked Little Things.
Yeah, I'd give it that.
Because that was part of the original Fear Fest, or not?
Yeah, After Dark.
After 6-8 films to die for.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those fun films that actually came out of that. Very few came out of that that were like, yeah. But I definitely like Wicked Little Things.
There's another zombie film in there with that Tooth and Nail.
Yes.
Yeah, Michael Rooker.
Very good. And then, of course, Infected Humans came back with I Am Legend, which is not a horror film, but it's a Will Smith crap film. Made a lot of money and kind of rebranded zombies or infected humans back into the forefront of mainstream film, I guess you would say.
I guess.
But to me, 2007 had Planet Terror.
Yeah.
Which Robert Rodriguez, part of the Grindhouse with Quentin Tarantino, with his Death Proof. I thought Planet Terror was flawless.
Yeah, it is. It's perfect. I could have had sequel after sequel after sequel if Tarantino wouldn't have fucked up his version.
Yeah, Death Proof wasn't that great. But definitely Planet Terror. people, if you've never seen Planet Terror, you need to watch Planet Terror. Like, actually stop listening right now. Actually, no, keep listening, but go get Planet Terror and watch it. And as a matter of fact, there's another film that came around that same time that many people don't know about, but it's a foreign film called Wreck. We've talked about Wreck a couple times in the past on the show, but Wreck has three or four sequels.
It's got three. The fourth one, I believe, is out now in Spain or getting ready to come out. I'm waiting on the fourth one.
Yeah. Definitely something that you guys want to check out. Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror and Paco Plaza. I think he was the director of Wreck.
Yeah, Slaughter, the other director's name. I can never say it.
Yome Balaguero?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, si. Something like that. Sorry if I've ripped the guy's name apart. I got to talk about Dead Snow. Jesus. We just had Dead Snow 2, Red versus mm-hmm. Dead. Is that what it's called? Red versus Dead?
Yeah.
Dead Snow is a zombie Nazi film, people, that is dying for you to go find on Netflix and watch.
A lot of people don't like it, which shocks me. Well, I think it's the subtitles.
That's because they're stupid.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. But it's really a lot of fun. You're going to have to read subtitles, obviously, because we all hate subtitles because we're America. But you're definitely going to have to watch the film and read subtitles, but it's a lot of fun. You should. And I'd like to hear back from you if you liked it or not. Then we had a problem. We had a real big problem. All of us Romero fans started to look at him and when he started to make fucking shit films in 2007 or 8, I think it was. Diary of the Dead, shit. And then I think he made a couple other ones.
He made Survival.
Survival of the Dead. And then there was another one.
Where they ride horses and eat horses at the end. And everyone talks with a different accent, even though they live on the same fucking island.
Yeah. Complete fucking garbage. Stay away from those two. Stick with the original trilogy. Dawn, Day, and Night, and you'll be fine. Forget everything else that came after that. So one other one came after that. It was Diary, Survival, and...
That's it.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I thought there was six.
He did it. Land.
Land, yes.
But Land was the fourth one. They went Land, Diary, Survival.
Yeah. Land was okay.
Yeah, it's just the CGI.
Yeah, that was not very good. Land was the one in the tower, right?
Yes, but that movie was so long in the making, like 20 plus years in the making, and epic, and it kind of got downgraded because nobody wanted to give him money. So, like, what we see in Land is a quarter of what he had planned.
Hmm.
Like, there's essentially, I can't remember the car, you know, that they drive, you know, the fucking...
Yeah, that big-ass thing.
Like, that was the whole movie, essentially, originally.
And then John Leguizamo got in there and was like, let me get my motherfucking hotel, bitch!
I love John Leguizamo.
Yeah, he's awesome. I remember I saw a film, and I don't know if you've ever seen this. It was called ZMD.
Yeah.
Zombies of Mass Destruction.
Yes.
Fucking awful film.
with the Arabs.
Yes, with the Arabs. They also had that spoof on Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Zombie Night, Deadly Night. A good one that recent that always gets passed up is Dead Air with Bill Moseley.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Roger Dorn.
Did he ever direct that one?
Yeah. What's his real name?
Roger Dorn?
No, Roger Dorn. Fucking Major League.
Yeah. Corbin Burnson.
Yes, Corbin Burnson directed it. But about a guy, a radio DJ that's stuck in the studio. He's basically broadcasting the zombie apocalypse over the radio.
Wow.
And zombies get into the station. But Pontypool is another one that's outstanding.
Hmm.
It's a Canadian film based on a book series. And it's heady. Like, you have to be a thinking person. If you like DC, you know, DC comic movies, it's not for you because it's mostly all talking and you don't really see any of the action. But it's a guy who's a big time radio DJ and he gets transferred out to a radio station in the middle of nowhere in Canada, and this plague starts spreading and people are ripping each other apart, and it's based on words. Like the virus is spread through the human language.
That's pretty interesting.
It is absolutely insane. They've been talking, like, there's three books in the series. So I don't know, that movie's probably 3 or 4 years old, and they've been trying to, you know, get the second movie going, but it's an outstanding film. But Stephen McCaddy.
I'm a big fan of big tit zombies. If you haven't seen it.
Is your wife not around?
No, she's sleeping. Big tits, okay. Dragon, hot spring zombie versus stripper 5. That shit is the bomb, yo.
Well, don't forget about zombie strippers with Jenna Jameson and Robert Englund.
Didn't she shoot ping pong balls out of her vagina?
Yes.
Yeah. Epic. But then again, one of my, I mean, we can't not have this conversation without talking about Zombieland. I mean,
oh yeah, it's great too. I mean, I think it's once again the people that hate it want to be trendy.
Exactly.
Because you can't not watch that movie and not laugh your ass off.
Twinkies. What was it? Snowballs. Yeah. Snowballs. Where's the goddamn Twinkies?
You know, it's Amber Heard's best acting performance ever. You know.
She dies in the apartment, right?
Spoiler, Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, you know.
She bites Bill Murray.
Oh, awful. So there's two films that I want to mention. I want to mention one that no one's going to see, but they should because it's freaking amazing. Juan of the Dead.
Oh, God.
Juan of the Dead. Cuban first zombie. It's Cuba's first zombie movie. And he drives a pink Cadillac hydroplane to get to Miami. It's fucking brilliant.
And the fuck is his buddy who's like the pussy hound that has VD?
Yeah. And then, of course, L.A. Zombie, which is actually called Gay of the Dead. No, I'm just kidding. That's an adult film. People don't go out looking for it. And I've never seen it, so let's not talk about that.
You know, there's two more that, well, I mean, there's a ton more, but Dead Meat is also a great one. That Fangoria, when Fangoria actually used to put out DVDs, you know, as a label, it's about a zombie virus that spreads from cows, like slaughtered cows.
Like interesting.
I think it's the Irish countryside. So there are actually zombie cows in the movie.
Huh.
And there's a terrifying scene. Like I won't ruin it, but yeah, Dead Meat from like 2004. Also, Undead from Australia, the same guys that did Daybreakers.
Yes, that movie's awesome.
With the fish, yep. You know? It's like, God. Oh, holy shit, what was the third one? Oh, my God.
Zombie Ass?
No, I do love Zombie Ass. It's great as well.
I swear to God, those Asians make those really strange fucking films like Big Ted Zombies and Zombie Ass. And they make some really fucked up films.
Dead Set, that's what it is.
What is that one?
It's UK. They melded it into a film here, but it was a series. You know how they do those series over there? Where yeah. It's like two, like this was like a mini series of like four nights in a row, but it's basically Big Brother meets zombies. You know, okay. The TV show Big Brother meets zombies, and they're filming like their version of Big Brother, and the zombie outbreak happens in London. Jesus. And they attack the fucking zombie hordes attack the Big Brother house. So it's all being broadcast over reality TV. But it is amazing. Maybe 4 or 5 years old, and it's called Dead Set.
I'll check it out.
I love that. And obviously the gore they get away with over there is outstanding. Like, it's a, I mean, it should be available on DVD. And, oh, go ahead.
Well, let's talk about World War Z, because the book, everyone loves, that has read the book, everyone loves the book, but there's a clear divide of people that like the film and don't like the film. And there's really no black and white. There's no gray area. It's usually I hate it or I love it. I'm on the fence of I actually loved World War Z. I think World War Z, because I take the film for what it's worth. And we've talked about this before. I think this is a set piece film that allows you to set the world up, and then you can move into the stories that are in the book. So I think that's one of the things that I think people miss from this, and they think, oh, they just took it by name and they just fucked the whole thing up. I disagree. I think if the film was a one-off film, then yes, you have something to bitch about. But I think from the standpoint that I think the film set up the world that World War Z is into, which I think did a better job than what the book did, which just basically led into a bunch of series of stories. What are your feelings?
I like the story. I'm fine with the actual story of it, but the zombies are shit. Like, they totally fucked it up with CGI zombies. They should have kept the story and had normal people, practical effect zombies. It'd be an instant classic. And not puss out and rate PG-13. Like, they had the opportunity and they blew it.
Have you seen the unrated version?
Yeah, I didn't see a difference.
Well, there's some blood, and I think that was...
It's not the blood. I mean, yes, I love gore. Give me gore all day. That's wonderful. You know, splattered on big tits. You know?
Yeah.
Big cocks, too. I'm an equal opportunity person. So, no, I don't like big cocks. But you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm.
You like small cocks.
No, I don't like any cocks. But I'm just saying, you know, for the people out there who might be listening for the first time, and they say, oh my God, well, these two guys are sexist. Like, no, I'm perfectly fine with male nudity as well.
You watch Warm Bodies. That's what you're saying.
I did, actually.
Yeah, I did too.
So I love Rob Corddry.
I'll pretty much watch anything that's a zombie film.
I enjoyed Warm Bodies more than I did World War Z. Like, I thought that was a great story. You know, it's kind of like, it reminded me. Warm Bodies, for people who haven't seen it, there was a movie back along with Dead Meat that was called Zombie Honeymoon. That was actually the writer director, his wife actually died. You know, they were newly married and she died. And he wrote Zombie Honeymoon as kind of like a catharsis, you know, to get over that horrible incident in his life. It's about a guy who dies on his honeymoon and comes back as a zombie, and his wife trying to reconcile, like, fuck, you know, I just married this man. He's the love of my life. He's also a zombie. I've got to keep him in the house, you know? So it's an R-rated version of Warm Bodies,
right,
essentially, which excellent film as well. So,
well,
yeah, World War Z.
All right. Well, obviously we're on different sides of the fence with World War Z, but can we at least say that we're intrigued to see the sequel?
If they do it practical, I just CGI zombies are such shit. And yes, Brad Pitt's hair can get the box office so far, you know, but they have to man up and do it right and not puss out. Like, Matthew Fox needs to be fucking double-holing Brad Pitt's wife, because that's what's happening.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's what's happening. Like, they didn't want to put that in there, but that dude is banging the shit out of Brad Pitt's wife, you know?
Well, speaking of zombies, breaking news, the AC/DC drummer Phil Rudd is charged in a plot to murder two men. Jesus.
Are they zombies?
Oh, I don't know, but he is.
He's a zombie?
Every one of those guys, man, that's some...
Holy shit.
That's some zero zombie shit.
Shoot him in the head.
Shoot them.
There are so many great zombie films. I mean,
there are.
So, I guess we're coming up to the inevitable discussion here.
Yeah. So, we're going to have to talk about The Walking Dead. And I know that we have our differences about The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Walking Dead, to me, for those who are oblivious to the world. So The Walking Dead is based on a comic book called The Walking Dead about a group of survivors that make it their goal to survive the zombie apocalypse and find a way. I don't know if in the comic book we're really not going to be talking about finding a way to find a cure. They're really just finding a way to survive. So that's kind of one difference in the show as compared to the comic book. But they did, and they were, I mean, Abraham and Eugene originally did talk them into going to Washington. But we're now five seasons into The Walking Dead, and for many, many people, the show has been up and down, including you, Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
The show as a whole, where would you rate it?
What do you mean? Like,
so take the body of work as a scale of 1 to 10, the first five, 4.5 seasons, what would you rate the body of work?
A 6? 5.5 or 6?
And this is because?
Oh, okay, my main complaints. Whoever is making these decisions, like whoever is the head chief wampum, you know, that makes the Napoleon, that makes the decisions, is making horrible decisions. Like, I loved it. It was the greatest thing since Day of the Dead when Darabont was there. Like, Darabont knew that shit, you know, and had that shit. With Darabont, there is no Walking Dead TV show without him. He had that shit. They brought the next guy in, and it just went to drivel for me, because that's where you get the farm, you know, and everything else, and Rooker disappears. And because, if you're looking at it from, you know, a perspective, I love Norman Reedus as an actor. Like, I think he's a great actor, but it was, you know, Dixon's Darlings, you know, for Merle before it was Norman Reedus, you know?
Right.
And then they totally, you know, ditch the character for what, 2.5 seasons, you know? And then Shane could have, I know Shane in the comics died. I just feel like they get rid of, like I think we discussed before, recordings, they get rid of the quality actors, not characters, but actors, far too often. And I think at this point, when it started out, they didn't play to an audience. You know, they were trying something groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've gotten less and less and less groundbreaking. Like, they have made it to me. And I mean, anyone who loves it, I don't have anything. God bless you, you know? I'm not downgrading people who like it, but they have made it mass market.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt the show is mass market. But you have to, in order to stay on the air for, I think it's, they're planning 18 seasons or something.
I feel crazy. Like, Jesus, that's overkill. I feel like, you know, that initial spark is gone. For me, anyway, as a hardcore horror fan, that initial spark is gone. And they'll occasionally throw something out, like shooting a little kid in the head or something like that, to get you back. I mean, at this point, the only reason I'm watching is because of Greg Nicotero.
I have to say that his work on the show is one of the reasons why I watch the show. But for me, the show has it allows me to remember what the comic book gave me, but then also shows its own self and allows itself its own freedom to kind of work within the world, which I kind of like. I don't like to say, like, oh, here it comes, this person's gonna die, or this like, I'm glad I don't have to do that with Game of Thrones, which is pretty much fucking case in point. Yeah. You know what's gonna happen. I do appreciate the fact that I get to watch the show basically fresh and know. My one quiver is AMC. they allow them to push the boundaries to a certain point, but they keep them kind of grounded because they are still network cable television.
Yeah, I just feel there. I'm trying to figure out how to put it. You know, okay.
I can tell you that for me, I will always go to my grave wishing and wanting to know what the show could have been on Showtime, HBO, something that allows them the complete freedom to just play itself to whatever strengths it has.
I mean, Michael Rooker would have raped and pillaged the world.
Well, you also have to remember that the many, many, many characters worked within the comic book barriers, and they kept people and they had to let people go.
Yeah.
I think for Merrill needed to fulfill something that allowed Daryl to continue.
So, yeah, and that's my problem. The way I view it, like, Michael Rooker's a person, you know, I've spoken with Michael, I've had him on the show, all this. Michael as a person is wide open, you know, like zero filter, you know?
Right.
And that was, I mean, that Merle character, I mean, obviously he's not, well, maybe he is a racist, I don't know, you know, but that character was something that wasn't shown on TV. And in 99.98% of any other show that had any other character not working it, I mean, it could be a family drama. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That character would be hated.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that a bigoted, womanizing, just human piece of trash was so highly rated, I think that scared AMC. And I think that scared the creators of, like, wow, this vile person who essentially is, you know, the evil equivalent of Charlie Manson, you know, for lack of better terms, like a redneck Charlie Manson, is the most popular thing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think that scared them into, like, holy shit, we do not want people protesting us. You know, like, we have to end this character.
Well, I mean, that's what Daryl started at us. We didn't know what it was. I mean, he could have just been a follower, but he also could have been exactly like Merrill.
Like, this is the way I put it to people, and it sounds so fucking weird comparing the two shows. Take Family Ties. Just bear with me. I know you love Michael J. Fox. I won't bash Michael J. Fox. Take Family Ties. Watch the first season of Family Ties. It is a family comedy drama about the entire family. By, like, the middle of the second season, it's Michael J. Fox cracking that smile and the camera angle just right and ding, commercial. That's what The Walking Dead is getting to with Daryl. Of like, crack that glare, Norman, you know? And it's like, I understand there is money. And I'm not saying anything bad about him. But that's just what the show is becoming.
But his characters, yeah, at least, enjoyable.
It's a great character. I mean, I don't get the level of it is. It's one of those fucking just cultural things that fucking happens, you know, kind of like Bill Cosby.
A guy that can survive a zombie apocalypse would be a person like Daryl Dixon.
I don't know. Probably not.
It wouldn't be a guy like Glenn. But I mean, now I'm not talking, I'm talking in the very beginning, of it. A guy like Daryl, somebody survivalist who grew up the way that he grew up, who in the beginning didn't need physical contact and people and all those other things. He could work within his brother and him, and they could have probably ruled the zombie apocalypse like the two-headed horseman. But I think as they allowed his character to evolve, and I think in season three when the loss of Sophia, and you saw the impact that kind of, all right, well, I've been around these people now, and now these feelings that I've never known because I didn't have a family that cared about me and all these things, to watch him progress from season one where the season where they, or the scene where they left Merrill on the roof, and you know that outburst that he has towards Andrew Lincoln. It was very passive, but like he was like, "You left my brother on the roof," like, and he's getting he got angry, but like there was no anger behind it because I think he was with his brother for so long. Then you go fast forward to season 3, 4, and 5 and see the progression. Daryl going after that, you know, going after Beth and running after Beth by himself. I'm not sure that that would have happened in season 1.
I just feel like they could have taken the Daryl character or the Andrea character and made either, they're interchangeable. Like, they could have made Daryl the annoying one and Andrea the fucking fan favorite. You know what I mean? Like, they were essentially the form of the same character.
They tried to make Andrea.
They didn't try, though. They took her the opposite route. Like, they could have put her in Daryl's situation, you know, after the death of her sister and everything else. Like, they took those characters and essentially made them the evil version and the good version. Hmm. But do you not see my, I mean, do you see my point of like how I view it of like the Michael J.
Fox thing? Yeah. I can understand that people feel about The Walking Dead. It is a phenomenon, but we've said it before, like Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland. People that don't like The Walking Dead necessarily are not liking The Walking Dead just because it's the cool thing to do.
Yeah, and if people do, like, I have points. That's what I always try and get to people. But, I mean, especially being here in Georgia, right, you know, where the fucking thing, like, employs God knows how many people and everyone does something on The Walking Dead, even if it's like I whittle the chairs, you know, or I move the leaves, you know, or I wrangle the snakes. I mean, it's just, it's the 800-pound elephant in the room, you know?
But it is the thing keeping a beloved subgenre alive at this point. Listen, for the last 25 years, there, for every great zombie film, there was 15 to 20 absolute shit, like funny, like zombie lovers and whatever the fuck that movie was called, and Ah Zombies and Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies.
I like Ah Zombies.
They're fun movies to watch, Brad. They are. They're fun. They're just, but they're not 28 Days Later. They're not Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead. And for every one of those, which kept the horror in the genre, there was 30 or 40 bullshit films that made it a joke.
Exactly. And I agree with you there. It's just a matter of, you have to look at it as, okay, like you say, The Walking Dead. There was a great film by Stephen C. Miller who did the Silent Night, Deadly Night remake and Aggression Scale. And he's got a new film called Submerged that's going to be coming out beginning of next year, I guess. He did, his first film was filmed in Orlando, and it's called Automaton Transfusion. And, I mean, it might have had a budget of, like, $20,000. And Weinstein's actually put it out, is who put it out on their Dimension Extreme label. Now, that is a fucking hardcore zombie film, like, shot by someone who loved it. So you actually have to look at, I mean, like, okay, it's called Les Hordes, I believe. It's a French zombie film, which deals with, like, gangsters and cops who are at, like, a shootout and, like, a zombie apocalypse happens there. Great fucking zombie film. Like, if The Walking Dead did not exist, the mainstream work 9 to 5, yeah, we watch, you know, a scary movie if it comes on our pay cable and it's October and the wind's blowing right and it's spooky, yes, they might not know about zombies. But for the hardcore dyed-in-the-wool horror fans, we're going to find stuff like Automaton Transfusion, The Horde, Wreck, Beverly Lane, which is a great zombie, independent zombie film that came out this year. Stuff like that, the zombie genre would survive perfectly fine. It just would not be to where my parents, your parents, someone's grandparents watch it on a weekly basis and have viewing parties and heated discussions by the water cooler. It would be the horror fans.
Right. Well, I think we can boldly say, and I think we can safely say, that no matter how many times you want to turn away, we'll still be watching The Walking Dead coming every Sunday, as long as it keeps our interest, and hopefully it will continue to keep our interest through season 5 and beyond. I still, like I said, I will always regret not knowing what it would have been like if it could have been the hardcore R-ish show that the comic book needed it to be. But I think they've pushed the boundaries for AMC, and let's thank God it's not on NBC.
Exactly. Now, and point on, and Walking Dead could get interesting. They just had Jennifer Lynch, you know, David Lynch's daughter, who's great film director. I mean, she's made some really fucked up movies. She just got done directing an episode of The Walking Dead like a week ago. So I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing it'll be like episode 8, 9, 10, whatever, you know?
Right.
Whatever episode she does. I want to see, like, that'll be my litmus test. Like, if they let her go as fucking dark as she goes in her movies, like, they're on the right track. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Bringing in a director like that is pretty fucking shocking to me.
Well, Negan,
because she's not mainstream at all. At all.
Well, the next season, or where they're apparently leading to with the big baddie that's coming up in the been in the comic book. There's
Did you say his name? I mean, it rhymes with Egan.
Negan. it's literally, that is the litmus test.
Yeah.
Because there's no sugarcoating that man.
There was no sugarcoating the governor either.
Well, true. Hopefully we don't have to think about sugarcoating Negan, who is 1,000 times worse than the governor.
Oh, yeah. And before, I guess we're going to do the wrap-up part. If not, I can go all night, but I know you got to get up early. For the Jeremy Harmons out there, who, you know.
Who?
Jeremy Harmons. He used to be on the show.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Back before he was on.
That guy.
The guy that, he loves Julia Roberts. But there is a excellent, I mean, it's my favorite zombie TV show of all time. It's called In the Flesh. There's a BBC series, British, once again, the zombies. I pray they did 2 seasons. It's on iTunes. It's probably on other, whatever you buy. It might be on Amazon Prime or BBC America. I don't know how they do it. In the Flesh, it is a Jeremy Harmon zombie series.
It is awesome, but it's not Walking Dead.
It's better than The Walking Dead. To me, anyway.
To me.
I just love how they tackle, like, if you want to see someone tackle homosexuality and religion and lynch mobs and people and what they would actually do in, you know, a zombie uprising and tackle the existence of God and everything else.
That's the show to watch, people.
That's the show to watch, Mr. Harmon. He hasn't listened to this shit.
Right, fuck him. Love you, buddy. All right, so that's all we have for this evening. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next month with another version of the HorrorCast, episode 8.
Tusk?
Definitely not Tusk. But we'll be back next week with the crew talking about something real fun. So check out realnewsdaily.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Call us morning, noon, and night. You know, we'll always take your calls. And
I'll put my number out if someone actually wants to call it.
We will sing you sweet, sweet, sweet lullabies.
678-460-6661. Call it.
I dare any of you to call him.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Hopefully his wife won't answer.
No, that's the podcast phone number.
There you go.
The call-in recordings. So you will be recorded if I answer.
All right, guys. So for Brad, I'm Mike. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. And don't shit your pants watching a zombie movie this weekend.
Hashtag walrus yes.
Good night.